We're up to Rosh Hashanah, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, about 8 lines from the bottom. V'Lagalim, the 2 dots. We said that Nisan is the beginning of the year for Regalim, for the holidays. Says the Gemara, Regalim be'echad b'Nisanu, b'chamishasa b'Nisanu. What are we talking about? What holiday is there on the first of Nisan? What do we say in the Mishnah? There are 4 heads of the year. Be'echad b'Nisan, one in the month of Nisan, is the beginning of the holidays. There is no holiday on Echad b'Nisan. The Regalim Pesach is on the 15th of Nisan. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, so Rav Chisda, who was Rava's father-in-law, who was a Kohen, Rav Chisda said, Regel Shebo, the Regel, the holiday that is within the month of Nisan, Rosh Hashanah L'Argalim, is the beginning of the year when it comes to Regalim, when it comes to the holidays. Nafkamina, what difference does it make? Which is the first of the holidays? Lenoder, if someone took a vow, someone said, I promise I will bring a sacrifice to the Beit HaMikdash. We said, the classical case of neder is a person takes a vow, I will bring a korban olah, I will bring a korban shlomim. That's a neder. Nedava is that a person says, this animal is hereby a korban shlomim. This animal is hereby a korban olah. Nedava, it is a donation. In either case, a person has really given holiness through his speech. The Torah teaches us that there is also the concept of neder, where a person can give holiness or can lay a prohibition through his speech by saying, this cup is prohibited upon me the same way that a sacrifice would be prohibited upon me. So the Torah expanded the concept of neder from a situation of a circumstance of a sacrifice to incorporate, to include as well, other situations, mundane situations, where someone could take something mundane and prohibit it upon himself, giving it that terminology, saying, this is prohibited upon me like a sacrifice. That is the expansion of a neder. People sometimes say, I take a neder not to sleep. That's not a neder. Neder is when you say, this item should be prohibited upon me as would be a sacrifice. So when it comes to nodir, someone who took a vow, for him to be in transgression of Baal Te'acher, that the Torah tells us, lo ya'acher l'shalemo. The Torah says, ki tido neder l'Hashem Elokecha. When you take a vow to Hashem, your God, lo ta'acher l'shalemo, do not be late in paying up your vow, ki darosh yidrashenu Hashem Elokecha me'imach. For God will demand it of you, v'ayah v'chachet. And then, if you haven't paid up, there will be a sin upon you. So the Torah tells us that there is this concept of lo te'achil, do not delay. Well, what's called delaying? So there are different opinions, as we will see in the Gemara and Amud Beis. There are about 5 different opinions among the Tanaim. One opinion says if 1 regel passes, the other opinion says 2, the third opinion says 3, the fourth opinion says 3 in order. We will see when we learn Amud Beis, there's a big machlokas Tanaim based on these psukim. When has one transgressed this prohibition of do not delay? That prohibition is called Baal Te'achel. Do not delay the bringing of the sacrifice. Now there is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that one is in transgression when 3 holidays have passed in consecutive order, starting with Pesach. Meaning if a person took a vow and said, I will bring this korban shlamim, and he took it a day after Pesach, so he has a whole year till next year Pesach, and then Shavuos, and then Sukkot, and then only after 1.5 years will he be in transgression. Whereas if he took this vow a day before Pesach, so then Pesach passes upon him, Shavuos, and then by Sukkot he better bring that korban, or he's in transgression of Baal Te'acher. So the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, within his opinion there, it's critical which is the first of the holidays. So when we said in our Mishnah that the month of Nisan is the beginning of the year with regard to holidays, that part of the Mishnah went in accordance with Rabbi Shimon's opinion that there is an order to the holidays with regard to the prohibition of Baal Te'acher. You guys with me? So what do we walk away with this? We walk away with this with the understanding that there's a Stam Mishnah. Our Stam Mishnah is supportive of Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So then if I'm going to ask you how do we paskin in halacha, you're going to know that there's a very strong weight with Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Because the Gemara is now saying that that line of the Mishnah, which is plainly stated, the Mishnah does not attribute it to any specific opinion. It is a Stam Mishnah. Well, that the Gemara is now saying is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So now, going with going with this line of the Gemara, we have just given great weight to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's opinion in Halacha. Back to our Gemara. So the Gemara asked, there is no holiday on the first of Nisan. Rav Chista answered, the holiday within the month of Nisan is the first of the holidays. What relevance is there that that is the first holiday? Lenodel, to someone who took a vow, lemekam alei beval te'acher, to establish him with the prohibition of bal te'acher, do not delay in bringing your vows. Rabbi Shimon, and then our Mishnah would be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Ditanya, for we learned the following braisa. The braisa is going to enumerate different responsibilities that a person takes upon himself, and then the braisa is going to discuss when is he in transgression of Baal Ta'acher. And what the Gemara is really going to do over the course of the next few lines on this page and the next page is the Gemara is going to introduce us to the idea that Baal Ta'acher is relevant not only with regard to a sacrifice, but also with regard to charity, to tzedakah, with regard to trumas and maestros, with regard to a bechor, with regard to cheirem, with regard to hekdish. It's applicable with regard to many other areas where one is responsible to pay his dues, so to speak. Over there, too, we apply the concept of Baal Ta'acher, and the Gemara is going to show us where we derive this from. But the first thing the Gemara does is, the Gemara says, our Mishnah is going to be Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon holds that Baal Ta'acher applies when you have three regalim in order. And let's skip one line to the end of the line. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, when do you have Baal Ta'acher? Gimel regalim kesidran. You have to have three holidays in their consecutive order. V'chag ha-matzot techila. And the first of the holidays is Chag ha-matzos, what we call Pesach. V'chen haya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Bar Yochai Omer, and so too Rashbi used to say, regalim. In order for one to have transgressed through the holidays passing, pa'amim gimel, sometimes only three holidays will pass, pa'amim dalet, sometimes four holidays will pass. Let's say he took the vow before Sukkot. So then Sukkot passes, and then all three holidays have to pass in order for him to transgress Baal Ta'acher. And pa'amim chamisha, and sometimes all five holidays will pass if he takes the vow before Shavuos, so then Shavuos will pass, and Sukkot will pass, and then again, the order only begins when Pesach hits, and then you have Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, and then he's in transgression. Betzalel, are you with me? That's my question, more or less. So again, Rabbi Shimon holds, in order to transgress Baal Ta'acher, one has to have taken the vow, and Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot in that order have to pass. We will see that it encompasses Shavuot as well. That's the next few lines in the Gemara. It encompasses the Gemara is going to say. It
not be our differences
between Neder and Shavuot? Not right now. Let's wait with that. Ketzad. We'll get to that in Daf Hey, but I don't know if we'll get to that tonight or Daf Vav. We'll get to that. Daf Vav. We'll get to that in Mitzvah. Ketzad, how could it be that a person would transgress Baal Ta'acher only after three holidays? Nadal lifnei haPesach, if a person took a vow before Pesach, Gimel, then three holidays have to pass, because then he hits Pesach right away, and then Shavuos, and then Sukkot. All three holidays passed in correct order. That's it, bingo. He's over on Baal Ta'acher. Lifnei Atzeret, if he took the vow after Pesach but before Shavuos, so then, Chamisha, he will pass five holidays before he's over on Baal Ta'acher. Because Shavuos will pass and Sukkot will pass, and only after Pesach passes does the clock really start ticking, because he has to pass the three holidays in that order. Lifnei Achag, and if he took the vow just before Sukkot, Alba'ah, then four holidays will pass, and then he will be in transgression of Baal Ta'acher. Rabbi Isai, is this clear? Okay. Now let's fill in what we left out in the beginning of the Braisa. The beginning of the Braisa simply enumerates what areas would one be in transgression of Baal Ta'acher for. And it gives us Tanakama's opinion. The Tanya, we have the following Braisa. You guys have it? Five lines from the bottom. Mm-hmm. Six lines from the bottom. Four words before the end of the line. The Tanya, Echad Anodeh. Have it? Here, here, the Tanya.
Oh, okay.
We have the following braisa: echad anodel veechad amakdish veechad amarich. Be it if a person took a neder, he took a vow. Be it if a person was makdish, he dedicated something to the Beis HaMikdash. Be it hamarich, if someone dedicated something with the term of erechin, he said, the erech of something I will give to the Beis HaMikdash. Erech is a form of value. Doesn't mean my value, it means my value within the framework of erechin that the Torah defines. The Torah says, if you say the erech of a man, it depends on his age. You say the erech of a woman, it depends on her age. You say the erech of a slave. The Torah gives us prices for each person when you use the term erech. Erech doesn't literally mean value. In modern Hebrew, it means value. In Torah terminology, it has its special meaning, erech.
It's like evaluation or something?
It's a special form of evaluation. What?
Who does that?
Torah gives us what the Torah delineates for us, what the erech is of a man from this age to that age and a woman at each age. So in any one of these cases, when a person took this responsibility to bring this donation, either a neder or hegdesh or erechin, Tanakama holds kiman she'avar alav gimel regalim over beval te'acher. The second three holidays passed, I don't care in what order, any order. If three holidays passed, he was over. He transgressed the prohibition, do not delay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, and this is where we picked up, Rabbi Shimon says, Gimel regalim kesidran, you must have the three regalim in their consecutive order, v'chag ha-matzot tchila, beginning with Pesach. And from here on, we saw already. Clear? Okay, when a braisa or a mishnah tells us echad, echad, what they are telling us is that there is no order to the mishnah. Ordinarily, the mishnah has an order. Sometimes the mishnah will tell me one thing, and then it will tell me the next thing, which is a bigger chiddush, and the next thing, which is an even bigger chiddush. When the mishnah says echad, echad, the mishnah is telling me they're all equal, they're all number one. Don't start looking at the order and telling me this is a bigger chiddush than that. No, they're all number one. Clear? Now, the ordering of a Mishnah doesn't have to go only in the ordering of which one's a bigger Chiddush. Sometimes the ordering is which one's more stringent. There are different formulas for the order. What Echad Echad says is the rule number one. Tanu Rabbanon, we have a braisa that was validated by the Academy of Rav Chiya and Rav Oshaya. Chayvei Hadamin. If a person said, I will give my value, a person takes responsibility for paying up a value of something. Chayvei, a person who is responsible to pay hadamin, value. He says, I want to give the temple the value of. Ve'ha'erechin, or a person who takes responsibility to give erech, which we described earlier what erech is. Ve'ha'charamin, a person who says, this is going to be Cherem to the temple. Cherem is, I don't know what the word in English for cherem is. I don't know. Cherem is like ostracized. This is, okay. I'm not sure what the... So the idea is that a person can say, this is cherem, this is set aside for the temple. It's another terminology that can be used for setting something aside for the temple, and that has its own criterion. Each one of these is different terminologies that can be used, and each one has their own set of criterion. Erech, for example, has a whole tractate. If you use the term erech, what happens if you say the erech of him, or the erech of her, or the erech of this field is going to be given to the temple? Erech, Dmei, Charamin, each term has different halachic qualifications, different rules. Vehekdeshot, or if someone sanctifies it. Chataot, someone who's responsible for bringing a chata sacrifice. Ashamot, or an asham sacrifice. Olot, an ola sacrifice. Shlamim, a shlamim sacrifice. Tzedakot, this whole list, the Gemara is going to say, the Brice is going to say, one can transgress if he detains it on Baal Ta'acher. And then at the end of the list, the braisa will bring me all the different opinions we mentioned earlier as to when are you over. But first, the braisa is telling me what does Baal Ta'acher encompass? What responsibilities do we have that we are responsible to do on time that the Torah tells us Baal Ta'acher about? So far we've read different monetary responsibilities, be it if one designated to the temple by saying Dmei Erech Cherem Hekdesh, four terms for monetary responsibilities for designating or donating something to the temple. Now we spoke about four types of sacrifices: chatat, asham, olah, shlamim, and then we go on to tzedakot, ma'asrot, bechor, u'ma'aser. Four types of donations: tzedakah, ma'asrot, bechor, the firstborn animal that has to go to the kohen, and ma'aser, the tithe of the animals that goes to the kohen. The Pesach, and the Gemara is going to say, what does Pesach have anything to do with it? Pesach has one day when you could bring it. What does Pesach have to do with Baal Te'acher? So the Gemara is going to discuss that. Leket Shikha U'Pe'ah, these gifts to the poor. Leket is if you drop one stalk, Shikha is if you forget a bundle, Pe'ah is the corner you leave over for the poor. Kevan Shavu Alein Gimel Regalim, once three holidays pass, Over Be'Baal Te'acher. So Tana Kama, the Stam Raisa says, three holidays in whatever order. Notice that that was the Stam Braisa here, that was the Stam Braisa earlier in the Ditanya. So we have two Stam Braisas. But Stam Braisa versus Stam Mishnah, who wins? Stam Mishnah. The Mishnah has more weight than a Braisa. So our Mishnah was Stam like Rabbi Shimon. So our Stam Mishnah so far carries more weight. If all we had before us was this versus that, the simple mathematics would say the Mishnah wins. You might say maybe two Braisas are stronger than one Mishnah. Okay, so that's where you got to start breaking your head over it. But Stam Mishnah, our Mishnah was stated plainly. We discussed, should we go over the idea of Stam? You're outvoted, sorry. The idea of Stam is as follows. When Rabbi Yehuda Anasi convened the court of the greatest sages of his time, so, together with the court, they analyzed the Mishnayot. They adopted Rabbi Meir's version of Mishnah because his version was most accurate and was he was extremely skilled at putting together many thoughts in few words. And they focused on his Mishnah, on his version of Mishnah, and they formulated the Mishnah, incorporating opinions that are minority opinions, majority opinions, and they voted on the opinions. And sometimes they would take a minority opinion and they agreed with it. And then because the rabbis of that generation agreed with it, they would say, Chachamim Omrim. They wouldn't say, Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon Omer. They'd say, Chachamim Omrim, the rabbis say, because all the rabbis of Rabbi's generation held that way. They took a vote and they agreed with it. And then if you look at a Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Chachamim Omrim, this. Rabbi Akiva Omer, that. The halacha is like the Chachamim, right? Because it could be in Rabbi Akiva's generation they disagreed with him. It could be in Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's generation they disagreed with him. And so the Gemara will often question, who is the Chachamim? What the Gemara is questioning is, whose opinion is that? We're not taking away from the weight of the majority opinion. We're just saying, wait, but which opinion is that? So Chachamim is just a way of connoting a certain halachic weight. It means there was a majority of rabbis who agreed with the opinion. We give it the majority opinion weight. So far, so good? Okay. Next step. Sometimes what Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and his courts did was they would say something in the Mishnah plainly, Stam. They would not attribute it to any specific opinion. And a Stam Mishnah, a Mishnah that stated plainly, is more powerful than the majority opinion. Because that's considered to have two weights. The fact that it's stated plainly is already indicative that everyone agrees to it. So that already gives it the majority opinion. It has that weight of Chachamim Omrim. But it has a second weight. And that weight is called the weight of Stam. The fact that the Mishnah sealed it plainly as though that's a given that everyone holds that. That's an even stronger weight than had the Mishnah just said, Chachamim Omrim, the rabbis say this. That's exactly what we just said. It's not.
No, it sounds like you said the same thing twice.
No. Chachamim Omrim gives it the majority opinion status. Stam gives it a second status of Stam. It's not only Chachamim, it's also sealed off in the Mishnah this way. Stam gives it a second weight. The Mishnah says it. The Mishnah doesn't tell you this is Chachamim's opinion. It just says it as though this is what the halach is. This is very simple. It gives it a second weight. So we have our Stam Mishnah. And then we have the Stam Braisa, twice the Braisa states plainly, and then gives you minority opinions that are differing. So the Stam Mishnah versus Stam Braisa, ordinarily the Mishnah wins. In this case, you have two Braisas against one Mishnah, so that leaves room for work. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, and we already know what he's going to say, we know his opinion is, Shlosha Regalim Kesidran, in order to transgress Bal Te'acher, three holidays have to pass in consecutive order, V'chag HaMatzot Chila, and the order begins, the first one is the holiday of Pesach. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kevan She'avar Alein Regel Echad Over B'Bal Te'acher. Rabbi Meir says, it's enough that one regal passes, that's it, he's over. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer kevan shavro lehem shnei regalim over bevalt acher. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says two holidays. Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Shimon omer. This is the famous Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Shimon, the great Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Shimon, who went into Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, went into the cave with him. He's arguing on his father. His father said three holidays in order, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Shimon, who you guys know the story about him, Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Shimon. They brought him questions. 300 women, I think, asked him if it was pure or defiled. They brought him, they didn't know if they were pure or defiled. He purified all of them. The rabbis said, aren't you wondering about one of them? Maybe you weren't right. He said, if I was right, they'll all have male children. In 9 months they checked, they all had male children. When he passed away, a heavenly voice would come out and answer the shilas from heaven. They didn't know he was dead. They'd come to the door and ask a shayla, and they'd hear the answer as though he was still alive inside. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, he was so holy, every night he'd go to sleep, he'd ask Hashem, I'm worried, maybe I sinned, let me have boils. And he'd spend the night covered with boils. His wife would take 13 layers of cloth to soothe him and balm him. And in the morning he'd wake up and be all better. Why? Because he'd say, God, now I got to go learn Torah, I can't learn like this. So he'd be all better. And then it would come night and he'd say, God, I need to be hit again. But the problem was it didn't work. Because in the morning his wife would say, honey, you're not going to Beis Medrash. You just got better today. Spend one more day at home. She wouldn't let him go. Then one day she hears how every night he says, God, please give it back to me. I need to make sure I'm clean. So she says, you said what? I'm working so hard. You asked God for them boils back? That's what's going on here? She packed her bags and left. She went to her father's house. So guess what? The next day he got the Beis Medrash. That was the day he paskened on all those shilas. The next day she wasn't around. She wasn't there to keep him. So he went to Beis Medrash. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, he was a giant. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, he wasn't sure if he was going to make it to Gan Eden or not. So he had an operation. He took out some fat. He put it in the sun. And he said, now let's see if that rots. And they left it in the sun, and day after day it doesn't rot. He said, sisu bnei me'ai sisu. My intestines can be happy. I'm okay. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, he's buried with his father, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay, so now Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, he's going to argue on his father, Rabbi Shimon. Says Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon omer, kevan she'avar alehen chag ha-sukot, over alehen beval te'acher. He says, there's one holiday that does it, Sukkot. Everything else it can pass, but when Sukkot passes, that's it. He's over on Bal Te'acher. My Taima, the Tanakama. What's the logic behind Tanakama? What's the first opinion? Who's Tanakama? No, Tanakama was Stam in the Braisa. What was the first opinion in the Braisa? Three holidays, regardless of the order. So my Taima could mean what's the logic. More classically, my Taima means what's the source. What is the source behind Tanakama's opinion? So, now we're entering a long sugya, and we have 4 minutes left, and I'm not sure what to do. So I guess maybe we'll start again next week, because this way it'll be fresh in our mind next week. The alternative is to take 4 minutes to talk about the holy day that's about to settle upon us. What do you vote? What's the vote? Huh? The latter. Okay.